We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into another episode of the Goodman and Hummel podcast. I'm Jeff Goodman. He is Rob Hummel. Oh, so nice. So nice. Who sent you that shirt?
It's part of the store, apparently. You know, someone, a hater of you, sent it to me. So I'm, let me adjust this so everybody can see it.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Probably the first one.
And it's a fact. It's a fact.
Listen, all I know is the last time we did anything competitive, I outjumped you.
When?
It was you coming off your ACL.
You never outjumped me.
It was
you never did. Yes, you've made this you've made this up in your mind, like this happened, and it never happened.
We did
it never
it,
did.
We did it against the wall at Purdue. There was some function or something, and we did. How do you not? Of course, you don't remember it. You're not going to remember Mason Gillis breaking your record either. You're gonna act like that never happened last night.
No, I will remember that. I will remember that. That was an impressive shooting display, and certainly Penn State was thinking, all right, we're just going to load up on Edie, and you know, we'll give some other guys some opportunities to beat us. But I don't feel like Mason Gillis is the right guy to do that to, in the sense that I don't think that Micah Shrewsbury necessarily wanted to be him. I think they were thinking Ethan Morton. I think they were thinking Caleb First. And I think some of their players had some maybe mental lapses in the scouting report. Yeah. Because they were really – Caleb Dorsey was, like, not close to him at times.
And I was talking – making shots this year, Rob. It's not like
– No, but still, he's got a track record. He can shoot. He can shoot. I
get it.
Like, when John Diebler was shooting 20% from three as a freshman, we all knew he'd eventually make shots.
Right.
And I feel like with Mason Gillis, he's a career 38, 39. I know this year he's 32, 33, but I don't know. I was talking to my dad after the game. My dad was there, and we were kind of joking that, you know, when I made these 8 threes, and the only thing that I have to hang on to is I made them all in the first half.
That's
so
amazing.
I think I still have the record actually for 3.5 at Purdue, I hope. I think. That's what I'm holding on to in losing this thing. And I shared it with Ryan Smith, who made it against High Point. I guess if you know, High Point's not the same as Ohio State or Penn State or
no.
And I think Carson Edwards did it too. I forget who he made it against though. But I did it on a night against Ohio State where Thad Matta played 1-3-1, and they basically just wouldn't leave it. You know, they were sort of guarding me at the end, but they really weren't guarding me for a lot of the first half to get that started. And that's kind of the same thing that Mason had. They were so concerned about Zach that they just, you know, they gave up shots to him. And it was a really impressive performance, though. You know, it was really cool to see. You know, Brandon God and I were joking, like, maybe Coach Payne should take him out of the game when he got to 8 to just tie us. But, man, he's a great kid. He's worked really hard. He's somebody that has, I think, bought into his role. You know, he started at times in his Purdue career last year, especially. And they've been starting Caleb First. And I thought in interviewing him after the game, he talked about what a great coach Matt Painter is. And how many guys would be like, this dude's benched me. What a terrible coach. You know, like something like that.
Yeah.
I think Purdue has as good of a role buy-in to anybody in the country. And there's other teams that are great at it as well.
If you don't buy in, Rob, you know this better than anybody. You're not still at Purdue.
But who is left? Like, who has not stayed? I can think of a handful of guys who have transferred.
I mean, like, Eric Hunter left because he wanted a bigger role, right? He wanted a bigger role, and he wasn't going to accept probably the role.
I don't know. I mean, but how's that turned out for him?
Not great.
Butler stinks, and has he played well?
Just okay.
Yeah, I mean, he had some good moments last year on a team that was really talented but had super flaws, I think. You know, but I just don't think there's many guys who have got there. I can think of a few, and they have not bought in. And there was the 2 years, I think, after our class was kind of out of there where – there was certainly some of that where you had some guys who did not buy in and they left. And I would say for them, it didn't work out all that well either. You know, it wasn't a good fit, and it certainly was a tough time, but Matt Painter, I think, does a great job at realizing and recognizing what kind of player suits him. And they have a ton of skill on the floor at all times around a center who is a dominant force. I think Zach Edey's the most dominant Purdue player since Big Dog. Glenn Robinson scored 1,000 points in a season.
I agree.
He averaged 30 a game. And, I mean, we've had Carl Landry, really good player at Purdue, great pro career. Etuan Moore, 2,000-point scorer. Juwan Johnson, first-team All-American. Caleb Swanigan, first-team All-American. Carson Edwards, dominant scorer. I think he was a first-team All-American, if I'm not mistaken.
Shit, you scored.
Jaden Ivey, first-team All-American.
You had to score almost 2,000 points.
Yeah, I scored, I think, a little under 1,800, so 1,780 or something like that.
You know the exact number. Don't.
But my point is, we have had these guys that are first-team All-Americans, and I just think Zach is playing in a way that no one has played. He's definitely the most dominant player under Matt Painter. And, looking back at the late Gene Katie years, they had some good teams around Brian Cardinal in 2000, went to the Elite Eight. But I think he's as dominant as anyone since Big Dog, and I'm not willing to say he's more dominant than Glenn because, I mean, Glenn was
beast. Glenn was just different.
He's a generational player of college basketball.
Glenn
is what Glenn
was
Robinson
just like, was. Give him the ball, and he
and he could score around the basket. He's an athlete. He can make shots from three. Now, Zach can physically punish you in ways that not many players that have played at this level can. But I have been amazed to watch him. Even last night, I thought Penn State did a good job on him by also giving up whatever to shooters. And he still had like 18 and 13. You know, it's pretty crazy. And Trayce Jackson-Davis did the same thing against Maryland. Like, those are the types of players where even on nights where you're like, wow, we did a good job, they can still get that. And I think for Trayce, if Zach wasn't in the league, he'd have a great case at Big Ten Player of the Year. But, you know. Zach,
what did you think of Micah Shrewsbury, who knows Paint as well as most, being on his staff? Mike has been with Brad Stevens for years. He's been in the NBA, now Penn State. And his quote after the game was, best team, best player, best coach in the country.
I don't debate it. You know, there's certainly some guys that are coaching that I think are great in their own right. But
is it weird to hear that, though? Is it weird to hear –
No, because I feel like I've watched this kind of from afar develop. I mean, I thought he was a really good coach when he had us. And I think he has just grown and grown.
What's the difference in him then and now? You see him now. What is the biggest difference in Matt Painter then to now?
Well, I think when he had us, he was trying to survive. He was in his third year. He's trying to build a culture. He's trying to find himself as a young head coach. And I think he did a lot of things that Gene Katy did because that's what he knew. And that wasn't wrong. You know, it was more of an old school mentality. I think we really defended. We worked on defense a ton, even though we had on our team some really talented offensive players. But now I look at the stuff they run. I think he's like an offensive savant. I really do. I think they run stuff that is as good as anybody in the country. And I think he's picked things up along the way. He's taken the good from what Gene Katie taught him and maybe then molded that with an approach that fits today's player, I would say. He's got great rapport with his players. He runs great stuff. They still defend.
Right.
He holds you accountable. And they do things the right way. I think he is legitimately a top five coach in college basketball. And I don't debate it.
I agree. And I hate the people that are like, well, he's never been to a Final Four. How can he be a top coach? Well, not every job is equal, right? Not every job is equal. He's not at Carolina or Duke or Arizona or Indiana even. You know, he's had to grind it out and get this program to a point where they've been able to sustain it every year.
But I think he's gotten Purdue to a point where it is now an upper echelon Big Ten job, and it is a place where the environment is second to almost none. Yeah. I mean, every night that place is sold out. And even when I played at Purdue, we played the non-conference and we'd have some of the, you know, the Arkansas Pine Bluffs of the world come in, we wouldn't have great crowds. It was, you know, 10,000, 9,000. They sell out every game now. Every game is a big time atmosphere. And it's in a state where people love basketball. But I think that he's come a long way offensively, just by kind of tweaking things and learning from certain people and taking what he likes, and he watches a ton of basketball. So he has a great feel. The stuff they run and the counters they have and the counters to the counters that they have a million plays. Yeah. It's amazing. And we ran motion a lot, which I love motion offense, but I think that with the way that the game has gone, so much ball screen, so much pick and roll at the grassroots level, it's hard to run motion now. No one does. You know, I think Chris Beard at Texas was one of the last high major guys that was really running motion. Not that Purdue won't go to some motion when a play breaks down or whatever, but like Beard was legit running it for a while, alongside some sets. But he's a great person. He's a great coach. And I just from watching from afar here for the last 4 or 5 years, it's clear that he has come into his own. He's comfortable, and he should be, because he's one of the best out there.
This is what I would say to people that criticize him for not getting to a Final Four or not whatever.
I mean, he was knocking on the door. It's a freak play from Kihei Clark.
Right, right.
Yes. If Ryan Klein, if he makes a free throw, the game's over. You know, he misses a free throw, they foul, and Kihei Clark makes an incredible pass.
Yeah.
Diakite makes the little floater.
Right.
I mean, you're 4 seconds away from that not even being a discussion point.
Yeah, I blame you for you know.
No, and Isaac Haas and my knee. I mean, yeah, he's had some really bad luck too.
Right.
Which is a part of it. Other schools deal with injuries too.
Put him at an elite job, right, where they have all the resources, where they're able to recruit at a higher level. And I'm not even sure he'd do well with that in a way. I almost feel like, you know what? Matt Painter understands who he needs. He doesn't need the top 25 players. And I'm not even sure he'd do great with those kids, to be honest.
I don't know. I think he would be fine, honestly.
He'd figure it out. Yeah. But would he want to? Would he want to deal with the kids that come in that have had their asses kissed their whole lives and told how good they were? And they want to be
For the top tier player, for him to want to coach him, he's got to be a guy like Caleb Swanigan, who's going to work his ass off. Yeah. Who, you know, is that type of mentality.
But even Biggie wasn't a top elite.
He was like top 20 player.
He was next tier. You know, I wouldn't put him in that elite tier where Duke, Kentucky, Carolina, they're all going after him.
Yeah.
I mean, when's the last guy Purdue beat any of those schools for consistently? I mean,
probably Big Dog.
Right. That's
honestly
all I'm saying.
Probably Glenn Robinson.
He gets the guys that work for him and for Purdue.
Yep.
Right. And he does an incredible job. All right. So now the biggest question I have for you, coming off this game and what Purdue has done so far this year, my concern is twofold with this team. And winning it all, because that's all anybody wants to talk about now. Purdue, the best team in the country, they are today. No doubt. You cannot deny that. But are they a team that can win six straight? And my twofold hesitation is, number one, and I know they don't look like freshmen. I know they don't play like freshmen. But you've got two freshman guards. I love them both. I friggin' love Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer, but they're freshman guards. Number two, you have a big in the NCAA tournament that still is going to have difficult matchups.
I cannot wait to see the responses to what this
I'm is. Just saying what I believe. I don't know. I don't have confidence. If you're telling me right now there's a team or three teams I'm going to put my house on to win six straight
games. Who are they? Who has looked like a team that's just a world beater?
I'll take Houston over Purdue in the tournament. I'll take them. I'll put my money on Houston.
I think Houston would be a tougher matchup for Purdue. I think their guards are physical. They have guards that can get it going off the bounce. Sasser's and lead, and they're older. But I still think that they have limitations in terms of some of their offense, which is crazy because they are a top 10 offensive efficiency team. But you're talking about games that are played. I mean, Purdue and Houston, if the tournament started today, would not see each other until the Final Four.
Right.
Agreed. Earliest. They'd be one seeds, right? Like, so saying that, okay, well, Houston could beat Purdue in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, but they wouldn't see each other until Saturday night in April.
Right.
So it's like, all right. Yeah, they could. I mean, but Purdue could beat Houston too.
I'll give you one. And I'm not sure they'll beat them, but like Kansas. Kansas. Now, KJ Adams can't draw Zach. I don't know how they guard Edie.
This is like, yeah, the Timberwolves could have beaten the 98 Bulls. Like, anyone could beat anybody. This is a dumb discussion. Like,
all right, fine.
I understand what you're saying. Yes, Kansas could beat Purdue. They've got Jalen Wilson. He's a really good player. But Purdue could be, I mean, they got to guard Edie too. And foul trouble is what scares you the most. Purdue could win the whole thing. They can make the Final Four and win the whole thing.
They can.
Second most efficient offense in college basketball. Top 20 defense. They have the statistical profile that fits for teams that go. Yes, the freshman guards, that's a concern for youth. It hasn't been an issue all year long. Those guys have played great. Braden Smith runs the show. Fletcher Lawyer has played
awesome.
Way above his years. They've got the most dominant player in the country. They have guys that buy into their role. They're shooting the ball way better over the last nine games.
They
can win it.
Are they athletic? I mean, obviously they have been athletic.
I mean, I think that's going to be the thing that could be their kryptonite. The team like a Rutgers who's athletic, they're physical, they can get into Purdue's guards. That's going to be the test. But saying that, well, Tennessee could beat Purdue.
I don't think
UCLA
Tennessee,
could beat
Purdue. I'm actually, just saying, I don't think Tennessee
saying, could saying beat the Purdue. Elite teams in college basketball could beat them, sure. Yeah, they could. But I think that Purdue has a team that could win the national title.
Yeah, I listen, I'm not saying they can't. Again, I just worry.
Yeah, but Houston could beat them. Yeah, but Alabama could beat them. Yeah, they could.
Guards, man. I worry about bigs.
Well, how's that worked out for you so far as they've won 22 out of 23 games? Worrying about their freshman guards.
Yeah, no, I got you. I got you. I mean, again, I think Houston would go through the Big Ten. And even though they're in the ACC, and I know they just lost to Temple at home. But
Houston has not rebounded as well here as of late. They have not been the same in that regard.
Yep, true.
And not that Kelvin Sampson won't get him there, because he is as good of a coach as pretty much anybody. He can really coach. But they have not played the way that I think he wants them to play here as of late.
No, but it's hard in the AAC. It's like playing mid-major basketball. And those guys think they can go through the motions at Houston right now. Well, they do.
Yeah, it's an interesting deal with the American, how, you know, Memphis is certainly there, and then you look at the second tier, I guess, of the American, and you're talking about Temple, Tulane, Cincinnati, UCF.
Yep. Not good. All right, let's move on to your favorite program, and one that we're going to you got the Indiana-Illinois game in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
2 weeks from tomorrow, I've told you to get your ass into Bloomington on Friday. Are you going to do that or no?
I think I have to work, honestly.
On Friday?
I think I'm – well, no games. I just – no. I think I'm doing – I think I'm doing the radio stuff. But I'll be there I'll be there by the night, but I'm not going to be there at, like, noon.
No, but you're going to go out with us at night.
It depends on how much prep I get done. We'll see.
Oh, cut the shit. It's Indiana, Illinois.
Where are we going to go out and blow? What are we going to do? Go to Kilroy's?
Yeah, we're going to go to Kilroy's.
I will not be at Kilroy's. I promise you that.
Me and Doster are going to Kilroy's.
There's a 0% chance of that. I'll go out to dinner, but I will not be at Kilroy's.
Are you afraid? Are you afraid of the Indiana fans?
I never have gone out in Bloomington. Like, a lot of my high school buddies would go down there because we had other high school friends when I was in college, and I've never been. I've been there obviously to do games and play. The most memorable thing happening where I remember they had footage of an Indiana fan peeing on the Purdue bus at night. Like, he just literally just started peeing on the bus. I don't think I will go out to Kilroy's. We can go out to dinner. I'll go out to dinner.
All right. You won't go out to a little bit more upscale establishment to have a couple beers.
I don't know. I don't know.
You're so old.
It's not even that. It's just, you know. Well, you just never know with Indiana Purdue.
Oh, you're really scared. You're scared you're going to get your ass
I'm not scared of that. I have to be professional. I have to work the next day. So I got to lock
in. You can't be professional with somebody that maybe makes fun of you.
It's not even making fun of me. I just, why put myself in that situation? why bring that on?
We'll find a better place for you. We'll find a place that nobody knows who you are. How's that?
Okay.
All right. I'll work on that. But all right, let's get to the more pressing matter here, which is the Indiana Hoosiers and kind of how they've rebounded here. I mean, they really have. Like, at one point, there was some fear that this thing could go down the toilet this year and they might not be an NCAA tournament team. Now they've rebounded. They're back in the top 25. Trace is playing like a first team All-American.
I mean, he's
been as good as anybody in the country over the last probably month or so, including Zach Edey, including Jalen Wilson. Those three, to me, have been the best three players in the country. I don't know if I'm leaving anybody off of that list, but I would say those are three. Maybe I'm leaving a guy or two off. Those are three that you have to put in the upper echelon, what they've been doing over the last month or so. They may get Xavier Johnson back.
Yeah, I think that that's going to be something that is coming here in the next couple of weeks.
I think it's
certainly huge in the sense that he is a guy that has burst that no one else on that team does. Yep. When he's under control and playing at his, I would say at a level that for him is at his highest, that gives Indiana another serious weapon. You know, he's had some issues, I would say, in the past with some shot selection stuff at times, but there's no denying his talent. And I just think for Indiana, it's been kind of interesting to watch them on the road. Take away the Illinois game. They played great at Illinois. But the Maryland loss, 55 points. The Minnesota win, 61, and honestly played awful. Oh. Trace Jackson Davis was the reason they won the game. Yep. And then you look back to prior to Illinois, Penn State, they scored 66 and gave up a million threes to Penn State. So there have been some concerns, I would say, about the way, for me at least, that they have played and shot on the road. But Trace Jackson Davis has been phenomenal. Jalen Hood-Schifino really struggled against Maryland after playing great against Ohio State. You talked about freshmen being up and down. That's a classic example of that. But they have certainly turned it around, and I think when they have been good, their defense has really affected people. Like, their pressure has affected people. I am so interested to see Saturday when they play Purdue, can they make them uncomfortable running their offense? I've watched some games, and I'm like, man, they're pushing the ball out towards half court. Teams aren't feeling like they can run their stuff. They're affecting the game in that way. And then there's been other games like Maryland. I didn't think they affected them at all. And containing the bounce with Jameer Young was a non-existent thing. No one could guard him. And maybe that's a place where getting Xavier Johnson back, a guy with that type of speed, you can stay in front of burners like that.
I think it will, because again, Jalen did not play well in the Maryland game at all.
No. Right? One for 13, I think.
He was not good. He's been pretty darn good.
He has. He's played like a pro for most of Big Ten play.
They just have more weapons now. And I think the biggest thing for me, Rob, is now you've got Race coming off the bench where he belongs.
He does not look healthy to me.
He's not.
No, his knee is not. The last couple of games, Minnesota, he didn't look like he was moving well.
Trace and Race, to me, in today's game, doesn't work.
It's not hard.
The highest level. It doesn't work.
Unless Race can make shots, and that has not been the case. Race does a good job, I think, in the high low at times, although Malik Renew has done that as well. Renew is talented, but he just lives in foul trouble.
Yeah, he's not ready. But to be honest, He'll probably be ready next year.
No, I agree.
You know,
he's going to be good.
This is the year for them, though. This is the year because now you're talking about you're going to lose Trace. You're going to lose Race.
Do you think there's a chance that Trace could come back, though?
I'd be surprised that he's not just checked out. I understand financially it would probably behoove him to come back for one more year because he could make another million.
But that's a discussion for all three of the bigs in the Big Ten. Dickinson, Edey,
yep.
And Trace Jackson-Davis.
You got to love college, number one.
True.
You got to love college. Number two, you have to be fairly clear that you're going to make at least a million. Mm-hmm. Minimum of a million. Because let's face it, if they're two-way guys, they're going to make what? 600 almost? 550? Isn't something like that now? Two-way in the NBA?
I think so. I think if you're up there for the max days.
Right. So if I told you now, hey, you've been in college for four or five years, and yeah, you come back for another year and make a million, or you could start your clock and make 550. I bet most of these dudes would say, you know what? Let me start my clock and make 550.
Yeah. I had a pretty interesting discussion about Trace Jackson-Davis prior to the Maryland game with an NBA scout that I know. There was like 17 or 18 NBA guys at the game. I think more so to see Hood Schifino. Not that they don't want to see Trace as well, but and he talked about how the last month has been really good for him in the sense of the five out stuff, handling the basketball, the passing, pushing off the glass and starting the break.
Yep.
Before, they kind of looked at him like, well, you know, when he's more athletic, he can score on over the top of guys, which in the NBA, everybody's athletic. But I think that some of the skills that he has shown over the last month has been beneficial for him at the next level.
He can pass it, man.
He can pass. He can pass.
He's really passed the shit out of it lately.
Yeah.
And to me, he's got to work. That the biggest thing to me, again, for Trace is, can he work hard enough that he can make consistent 16, 18 footers?
Yeah, I mean, he has not shown that.
Nope. But if you're an NBA team, you throw him in the G League, you work
with him. Yeah, I mean, you could certainly – that would be a high-level investment, right?
Totally.
If you take a G League deal on him. I do think it is baffling to watch Michigan play and watch Indiana play and see the lack of post feeds from the top of the key for Hunter Dickinson and Trace Jackson-Davis.
Yeah.
They just throw them the ball on the block, and it's an immediate double team, like, which is such a hard thing to score out of as a post player. And I think that's where Purdue does as good a job as anybody, feeding the post from the top of the key. Yeah. And it doesn't have – it can be with a pin down for a shooter, and if he's open, he shoots it, and if he's not, he throws it in. It can be with a drag ball screen, where you drag it, and then he just ducks in. But these traps are – I mean, Maryland did a great job of making Trace Jackson-Davis uncomfortable. And he still got 18 and 20.
Yeah.
But he, you could tell that double was coming sometimes. It wasn't others. He did not look like he was in a comfortable place. And I've done a good amount of Michigan. I've seen Hunter Dickinson just get trapped left and right. I mean, every time he touches it, he's trapped. So I don't understand – you know, and I've never coached, so maybe I just don't know. But
right, you gotta make them pay.
Totally. You need shooters, but if you don't have guys that are making them pay, right, post them from the top of the key.
Right. Exactly.
Or even with Trace, I like just the clear a side out, two-man game, get him rolling,
and
get him moving.
Do that enough.
He's way more athletic than most guys that guard him.
Yep.
Get him in space, get him moving around. And I just, against Maryland, I thought everything for him was so tough because it was in a crowd every time.
No, I would agree. I would agree. All right. Another Big Ten topic is Chris Holtmann at Ohio State. They're really, really struggling. I think right now they're 12th in the Big Ten. They are 3-7 right now and have really fallen off, losing, what is it now?
Seven of eight.
What do you make of this? They're so frustrated in Columbus with Holtmann because he hasn't been able to get past the first weekend. Now they're struggling. They got a really good freshman class. Obviously, Sensabaugh's awesome. We know that. Brought in, you know, revamped the whole roster this year. He's got a really good class coming in again next year, Rob.
Yeah.
My take on this is, you know, I get it. I understand they're frustrated. But be careful what you wish for. And I compared a little bit to Herb Sendek years ago at NC State. They ran him out there, and then they had Sidney Lowe, who sucked afterwards. And Herb wasn't getting deep in the tournament, but they were in
the
tournament.
He made the Sweet 16, though. Herb did, didn't he?
Yeah.
With Julius Hodge and those guys?
Yeah, I think he got there once, and then they
I think it was 05 or 06. Julius Hodge got those guys, Sweet 16.
So I don't know if they're going to get in the tournament this year. I think they will. I think they'll kind of rebound here and get it.
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah, they may not. They can't win close games.
They lost to Purdue, and it just seems like it shell-shocked them. They kind of gave the game away, honestly. I mean, the turnover, they were up 3 or 4 with 30 seconds to go.
They had the Carolina
game they gave away. Yeah, they have not been good in close games.
The one that killed them too, Minnesota at home.
Well, because of Minnesota's net ranking too. That's a tough loss. They lost at Nebraska in a close game. So you've got that's a team that because of the injuries that Fred Hoiberg's team has got. Boy, their net's not going to be great by any means. Granted, it is a road game. I don't know. Defensively, they struggle. And Sensabaugh is an elite offensive talent. Defensively, he is awful. It's not even on the ball. It's off the ball. It's scheme. It's a lot. He is not a good defensive player. They do have a lot of talent. There's no question about that. Zed Key's injury has hurt him. I don't think he's looked the same.
Going back to it. All right. So let's just kind of the big elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is, if I'm Chris Holtmann, do I try to get the job at Notre Dame? I say yes. Now, he's got a contract, but I wonder if it would almost be – if it could be a mutual thing with him and Gene Smith of, hey, listen, yeah. I got –
I mean, it'd be pretty tough to give up that Ohio State job just because of the talent that's in Ohio, the way that Ohio kids want to play at Ohio State, and I think the benefit of having football for when you are in down years. And I know that they haven't been happy with the season this year, but it's not the same as if it was at Indiana.
Right.
You know, if Indiana had lost 7 of 8, they'd be up in arms. Yes. Same with Illinois. But football is so big at Ohio State, it can provide a buffer in a way, I would say. I don't know. I mean, you have a great class coming in. You've got a good class here. The portal is always your 1 year away. Like he could get it back next year and have a great team.
Right. Right. I'd let him roll one more year, but if I'm Holtmann and I could get Notre Dame, I would get the hell out and get a new lease on life.
Notre Dame is going to be interesting. That is going to be a job that, boy, Micah Shrewsbury makes a lot of sense there.
Yeah, I think Porter makes a lot of sense, but he's got a buyout of about $6 million.
But I know Porter went to the Final Four at Loyola, and there's a lot of coaches that have never been. He hasn't exactly lit it on fire at Oklahoma.
And he didn't light it on fire before Loyola, before he went to the Final Four. So I'm with you. I'm not sure Porter's there. Holtmann, Porter Moser, Micah Shrewsbury would be one. Pat Kelsey would be another Midwest guy.
Is Chris Quinn a legitimate name or no? I mean, I know that had been rumblings of that.
He's too close to getting a head job.
He's got a pretty good gig in Miami. For sure.
I think he
but I had heard that he had interest in that job.
Yeah.
If it were to come open.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody really close to him to know whether or not he's got true interest. Yeah. He's a guy. It's funny. You know where I stand with former NBA guys and how bad they are. A lot of them. Here's what I would say. A young guy like Chris Quinn, I would be more apt to take a shot on. A young guy. I don't love the guys who have been around forever in the NBA and are lifers coming in.
It is a different beast. Just the mentality, the recruiting,
but Quinn
the academic side.
He didn't play in the league. He also didn't play in the league.
Yes,
right?
He did.
Barely?
No, I'm pretty sure he played substantial time in the NBA.
I don't remember Chris Quinn being like in the NBA like as a major piece. Maybe he was. I'm offending Chris Quinn here.
I think you have disrespected Chris Quinn's career here.
Am I?
He played 241 games.
Okay. All right.
He was there for 3 seasons.
All right. So, like, he was in, but again, not
dang,
like,
if you think Chris Quinn's NBA career sucked, you must really think that mine sucked.
How many games did you play?
I think, like, 99 or 100.
You didn't get to 100?
I broke my hand, and it screwed me.
Come on, you didn't get 100 because you broke your hand?
I mean, I sat on the bench for more than 100, but I don't think I played more than 100.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, I played 98 games. Dang. But you know
how
what?
DNPCDs
I shot 93% from the line my first year, though. Let's go.
How many DNPCDs were you getting?
I mean, my first year, a pretty good amount. We were decent that year. My second year, I played more, but then I got hurt, you know. So,
all right, let's finish this out with a little – let's finish it out with Texas and Rodney Terry.
Before we go there, I want to ask you this. Who would be your All Big Ten team if the season ended today?
All right. We'll do that, and then we'll go on to Rodney Terry.
And then we'll talk about Rodney Terry.
So it's clear it's got to be Zach Edey as player of the year to me.
Yep.
And Trace lock. And Trace is obviously on
lock.
Right?
I think there's one more lock. He didn't play well last night, but there's one more lock.
You think there's one more lock?
Yeah. Jalen Pickett.
Oh, lock, 100%.
He's played like an All-American for this season, honestly.
Those three you can't even argue with. Like, you can't convince me anything. Those three are locks, absolute locks. Boy, I mean, I think, like, Boo Booey's got to be in the equation, no?
I think if you're taking a Northwestern player, it is Chase Audige.
Yeah, it's because he's so
Audige,
good defensively.
He's going to be an all-defensive team guy. Yep. He's had an awesome season. Yep. I think his shot selection has improved a ton.
Yep.
He is a guy that I think will be – I think he's more of a second-team guy. We're leaving out one more that's a lock, Chris Murray.
Chris Murray, yeah.
Chris Murray's a lock.
Is he a lock? He's had that good a year?
He is averaging – 20 points a game. He's second in the league in scoring. He is fourth in the league in rebounding. Yeah. Okay. He's a lock.
All right. He's a lock. So we got four.
And I think this is where there is some subjective. Is it Dickinson? Although I don't think he's had as good of a year. I think he's a second team guy, especially with the Michigan struggles.
Yeah.
You know, Jameer Young, I think, has played his way into this conversation. I think Terrence Shannon is in this conversation. If Matt Meyer continues to play the way he is, he could find his way into this conversation. But I think it's you pick between those guys. Sensabaugh is definitely a guy that you throw
in there. A guy who's on a 3-17.
No. I agree. I would probably go Shannon, but I think Jameer Young can get there. I think Audige could get there.
I'm with you. I think Shannon.
I think Matt Meyer could get there.
I'll go Shannon. So Edey, Trace, Pickett, Murray, Shannon.
Yeah. I would feel good about that.
Coach
I think those
Matt Painter.
And you know what? And not to boy, they're gonna be pissed. Rutgers deserves to have somebody in this conversation, whether it's Cam Spencer or it's Cliff Amore, Paul Mulcahy. Yep. It probably would be Spencer. Spencer would be right there in that discussion too.
The problem with them is again it's
they kind of cannibalize each other's numbers. They do. But they will have multiple guys, I think, in the second and third team. But the problem is the stars are so good. Like Edey, you're not getting him off the first team. Trace Jackson Davis, you're not getting him off the first team. Jalen Pickett, Chris Murray. And then the four or five guys we just mentioned are having massive statistical years. But Rutgers needs to be represented because they have had a great season. You know, so those guys, you've got to have multiple guys that are falling into that. If they're not on the first team, on the second
and
third.
Edey, Trace, and Pickett could not only be first team all Big Ten guys.
First team All-Americans.
Could be All-Americans.
Agreed.
That's how good those
Pickett's are. Pickett's been an All-American. They all three have been. If the season ended today, those guys would be All-Americans. Pickett's been awesome.
Pickett's one of the biggest surprises of the year in a way because, again, nobody thought he'd do this. He's been.
No, I mean, I think he has just upped his level and played like a beast all year.
All right, we'll end on Texas. 11-3 since Rodney Terry took over as the acting head coach. They're first in the league now, 7-2. They're the only one that's 7-2, right? It's a logjam in the Big 12. It could change quickly, right? They go to Kansas State here this weekend.
Yeah, they got a tough Kansas. Week here. Right. Kansas State, Kansas. Road.
Right, West Virginia home at Texas. I mean, everything could change so quick in this league. Today, though, let's play a hypothetical game. And the game is they win the Big 12 or they tie for the Big 12. Let's even say they tie Kansas for the Big 12 title this year. They get a piece of it. And they go to the Elite Eight this year. They go to the Elite Eight. Chris Del Conte, you're Chris Del Conte, the AD. You don't want to give the job to Rodney Terry. You don't.
And you mean that in like the nicest way possible. It's not like he doesn't like him. He wants a big fish. He wants the Calipari's, the Jerome Tangs, those type of names. Right.
But, you know, Rodney Terry's done an unbelievable job already handling the program and the adversity that hit when everything happened with Beard. And that was hanging over their head for a while. Right. And they found a way after that Rice win, you know, and it could have gone south. Right. They were.
Yeah. Won in overtime.
Right, they're going to lose to Rice for a moment there. What do you do? And I'm going to give you another parallel to this. And my parallel is going to be when Greg Marshall was fired at Wichita State right before the season.
He did a great job.
They gave him the job. I think it was like late January they took the acting title or the interim title off, and they gave him a five-year deal. And it worked out for year one. They got to the first four. They were still relevant, and they've been mediocre, and that's probably being kind the last year and a half, 2 years. And now you're talking about maybe letting Isaac Brown go at the end of the year with a new AD at Wichita.
I think that this is a similar situation to Nebraska football, you know, but and then Mickey Joseph got in trouble, so it really didn't matter. I just wonder, and this is no disrespect to Rodney Terry, but I think that Texas wants the Calipari's of the world or the Jerome Tang or they want a head coach who is going to make a splash and be a guy who's a proven commodity at this level, I feel like. So I don't know. I could see Texas, even if he does that, being like, thank you, but we're going a different direction. I really could.
If he goes to the Final Four, you can't. You can't. You have to keep him. You have to.
Yeah,
you have no choice.
I guess, but I think that's going to be really hard. I mean, getting to the Final Four is not an easy thing to do. So, all right, if he gets to the Final Four, yeah. But even Elite Eight, they might just be like, you know, thanks. Right. This is great. But I think.
Right. Thanks.
And he has done a great job. I mean, to steady that ship with what was going on, my God. I think it'll be really, really hard for them to do that. I just think that they want somebody that's proven as a head coach.
The more I think about it, the more I don't think Jerome Tang goes, by the way. I was there at Kansas State. Well, I was there, and the one thing that we talked about after the game was how cool it was for him to see that environment where you could not see the court at all because it was completely flooded with fans, because he's been at Baylor for 20 years, and that never happened.
I understand that, but Texas can do that too, and they can offer probably $4 million more a year. They could make some really, really good reasons to go.
No question. If they really want him and they want to pay that money, I don't know what the football coach is making right now. They can't pay him more than that.
Right, right.
So whatever it's going to be, but it'll be interesting to see. But
they can storm the court in other places then. And Kansas State is an awesome atmosphere. That place, Bramlage Coliseum, is you were there, you saw it. I mean, that place is great. But I think that there could be some compelling cases made to go to Texas if they came calling.
Rob, I'm very, very depressed right now. I'm looking out my window.
Why, vacation's about over?
Yeah, my stay in Charleston has pretty much come to a close here.
You don't live in real life. The rest of the people covering college basketball are like on the grind in small airports, you know, working hard, and you're just on the beach. And then, it's 5 o'clock. Let me finish my Mai Tai and head in and watch some games. It's a tough life for you. Real tough. That chef's kitchen behind you looks rough as well.
I left Charleston the other day, but I left to my dad.
You went to Florida.
Yeah, my dad turned 80. So
nice. Happy birthday to your father.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, and again, this is one of those where I don't know how old your dad is, but at any point you want to be there as your parents get older. You want to be there every year you can. So we hit the driving range a little bit there.
How'd you play?
I haven't swung a golf club in a while.
I bet you're so trash. I just don't think you're good at any sports, honestly.
If I actually, you know, locked into it, I think I could be okay. No. But I don't have the patience. Not everybody has the entire off season off, you know. Some people have to actually work in the off season.
No. What do you do? Watch some NBA games. Tweet about it.
My phone rings. Your phone?
Yeah. Because you're breaking so much news. You're breaking so much news these days.
You could go 18 without your phone even ringing.
That's true. I mean, what would my phone ring for? I don't do anything in the summer. Other than announce the TBT. Maybe do some summer league this year. Maybe do some other stuff.
Did you see the picture I tweeted of you to the TBT the other day?
Yes. Dude, I was so tired. There is zero chance I play this year. I can't. I shot around a little bit. We were waiting on Penn State at shoot around yesterday. Yeah. So Brandon God and I went out. We got some jumpers up. Brandon's got a pretty good Brandon's from Evansville. So he's from the state of Indiana.
Right.
Yeah. But his range taps out at like 15 feet. You know, he's got to work on his
so
strength.
Are you announcing right now your retirement from the TBT?
Yeah. There's no way I can play. I haven't played basketball since October. There's no way I'll be able to.
Hey, you should be just like, you know, you could.
Yeah. I'd be happy to go with, if Purdue's got the team, I'd be happy to, you know, go and hang out and help Ryan coach or whatever. But if he'd have me.
Yeah. You should be wearing Udonis hats.
If Ryan, yes, I do that. Yeah, I'll put a uniform on and not play. Just know you cannot put me in the game. You know who ended my career, honestly? We might have talked about this. Mitch Creek. Mitch Creek was the guy that I was
I remember.
Dude, he got 30 points. And again, I was like, oh, good. I don't have to guard Jimmer. I don't have to guard, you know, Trevor Booker, who I know is, you know, as physical as anybody that's going to be in that thing. Jeremy Evans. I play with Jeremy in Russia. Don't have to guard him. Shit, after that, I wish I was guarding those guys. Mitch Creek had 30 points.
The moment I knew,
and honestly, I told Ryan in the second half, Jackie Carmichael like yanked on my back or like pulled me one way, pushed me another way on a free throw block out, and my back was like, yo. So I told Ryan, do not put me back in. I can't play. But the moment I knew it was over was there was like a dead ball. And Mitch Creek was guarding me, and he was like, he yelled up to Jordan Crawford, yo, Jordan, deny him the ball. He was guarding Lewis Jackson, and he wanted me to catch it so I'd have to bring it up against him. And I was like, man, like 10 years ago, I've been like, hell yes, let's go. Like, I'm about to burn it by this dude, and we're going to, you know, fine. I haven't brought the ball up against pressure in like 6 years. So I knew, I was like, holy shit. I am above my league out here. First game was fine. We played, I think, the MAC team. I was like, I can hang with these dudes, but
You're officially old.
I'm old and I don't play. So how could I be any good?
You're just old. Don't even say you don't play. You're just old.
I'm going to be dominant though this summer at the Hamlin Park run in Chicago.
Hopefully I'll get out there and maybe we'll play a round of golf when I get out there at some point. You can teach me, you know, how great you are now that you're going to go to the tour soon or something. Actually,
I can't wait. My hope is that one day I can get on the Frankie Muniz celebrity tour.
You'd be done.
I played in this charity golf thing, and Frankie Muniz from Malcolm in the Middle. I just was talking to him on the driving range. He was there. And which is kind of crazy because, you know, I watched that show when I was a kid. And stuff. But I asked him how many of these he does. He goes, I play in about 100 events a year. It's like, get me on that tour. Fly me in, play at some of these nice courses and roll. Now he's certainly put the work in with his acting career. But I would sign up for that deal if I could get it for sure.
All right. Well, listen, wish me a safe drive back to the frozen tundra in Boston.
Yeah, whatever. Safe travels, but no one feels sorry for you for your vacation you've been on for a month.
I'll be at Carolina Duke on Saturday. Where are you going this weekend?
Tennessee Auburn.
Oh, it's a good game.
Yep.
You might see a total of 100 points scored in that game, maybe.
Defense will be the storyline, I think.
All right. Well, that's a beautiful shirt you got there. Beautiful,
thank you. Beautiful. Thanks shirt. To Rob Doster for
I
sending
hope you didn't
it
pay
to me.
For it.
It was no, I'm an employee. Please.
Contract renegotiation coming up.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Goodman and Hummel podcast. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you subscribe and have a great weekend.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.